Good morning, everybody. Great to see you. Small group leaders' notes are here. Please do come and grab one if you need one of those. Oh, see if I can get this to work. The slides? I don't think so. Okay. Okay, well, Sunday mornings we have been looking at this series, Life in the Spirit, and we're going to continue with that this morning. If you have a Bible, please turn to Philippians chapter 1 to start with. We're going to be looking at a few different scriptures this morning, but we're going to start in Philippians chapter 1. Now, if you need a Bible, wave your hand in the air, and the stewards can bring one to you. So we're a few weeks into this series. We began with Johnny telling us that really, life in the Spirit is all about Jesus, and we're going to see how that's true today. We thought about how the Spirit is at work before conversion, softening our hearts to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and at the moment of conversion, convincing us that Jesus is who he says he is and that we need to trust in him. And last week, thinking about partly our theme this morning, that we are children of God. The Spirit is a spirit of adoption who assures us of God's love for us as his children. And today we're going to start to think about how the Spirit brings about transformation in us. And this morning we're going to think in terms of a past event, a present experience, and a future hope. If we could have the next slide, Annalise, please. The little clicker's not working. There we go. But as we begin, let's read Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 3. Paul writes, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." He who began a good work in you, something happened in the past, will carry it on in the present to completion until the day of Christ Jesus in the future, past, present, future. There's an old saying, and I believe that it's true, that God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. We can come to him just as we are. We don't need to pretend. We don't need to try and earn his acceptance. There's no way that we can kind of do something to qualify for access to God. He just loves us, as we've heard this morning. But he wants to change us, to transform us, to refine us like a goldsmith refines pure gold, to remove the dross and to reveal and purify what is precious. And so if, as Johnny said at the beginning of this series, life in the Spirit is all about Jesus, then our topic this morning of transformation is all about becoming more like Jesus. That's the goal. That's the aim. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And for those of us who are trusting in Jesus, there are aspects of this, as we've suggested already, that are past and present and future. So first of all, a past event. The Spirit has brought us transformation in status, our status before God. If we look at the next slide, the scripture is going to come up from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says this, "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Something happened in the past. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. There was a change in status before God that was brought about by the Holy Spirit. The 18th of August 1967 was a big day for me. A big change in status happened for me on that day. In Southampton General Hospital, I was born. And I looked something like this. I know. I haven't changed a bit. We'll come on to that because I hope that's not true. But in a moment, having been unborn, having been physically attached to my mum, literally, I began life as a separate individual. My status changed in that moment on that day. The 2nd of September 1995 was another big day for me. And another change in status. Just down the other end of New Malden High Street, in Christ Church, New Malden, the Reverend Anthony Everett publicly declared to everybody who was there that my status had changed from single to married. That I and Sarah, he publicly declared, I and Sarah were now husband and wife. My status had changed in that moment. And you know, in a similar way, in the moment when I trusted in Jesus, in the moment when you trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior, or if you've never done that, if you were to do that today, then your status will change. Before God, you will become like Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it said this, God made him, that's Jesus who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is now our status before God, if we are in Christ. In that moment before God, our status changed. And there are lots of different images that the Bible uses to describe and to show just how radical that transformation in that moment was. I'm going to list some of them here. We moved from death to life. From darkness to light. From being condemned to being forgiven. From being enslaved to being redeemed. From being imprisoned to being set free. From being guilty to being declared righteous. From being enemies of God to children of God, as we've been hearing this morning. Our status changed in that moment. I don't know how many of you use Facebook. Social media, website, and it invites people who are part of it, are users of Facebook, to update their status, to share with all their friends what's on their mind. And when you add something to Facebook, if I add something to Facebook, then all my friends will be notified that Andy Fuller has changed his status. You know, if you are trusting in Jesus, from the moment that happened, then your status can be updated. And you can declare truthfully that you are forgiven, you are set free, you are redeemed, you are a child of God. And that is a work of the Holy Spirit. Two things I want to say about this before we move on. The first is this: if you have never trusted in Jesus as your Savior, if you've not received this change in status yourself, you can here today. You can pray, you can say to God, look, I am sorry for the sin in my life. I trust that Jesus is who he said he is. I ask you to forgive me and give me new life. And if you do that, in that moment, your status before God will change and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will move from death to life. That can happen for you today. Second thing I want to say is that for those of us who are trusting in Jesus, I want every single one of us to embrace the fact that this is now our status. Wholeheartedly. And I know many of you do, but I suspect that there are some who still are held back by something. Something that you have done in your past, maybe something that was done to you in your past. That for some reason, even though you were saved, you somehow continue to live with this thing having some hold over you. That you think perhaps when we get to eternity in heaven, then perhaps then finally God will do something and I can be finally rid of this thing that's kind of clinging to me, still hanging around my neck now. I want you to hear this truth this morning, that the moment when you trusted Jesus, your status before God changed completely. You were forgiven completely. You were cleansed from all unrighteousness, and you can know that now. You have been set free, and you can embrace that status today. The transformation that the Spirit brings starts in the past. Our status before God has changed. Before God, we are like Jesus. But that's not the end of the story. because the Spirit continues his transforming work right now in the present. Because although our status has changed and was changed in that moment by the Holy Spirit, our character takes longer-term work. And it's something that needs our participation. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says this in 2 Corinthians 3, "We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." The Spirit is at work now, transforming our characters into the likeness of Jesus. And it's an ongoing, gradual process. And it involves both removing the rubbish stuff and growing and developing the good stuff. You'll remember in John's Gospel chapter 15, Jesus uses the image of a vine and its branches to describe our relationship with him, our dependence on him. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. And in John 15, verse 2, he says this, "I am the vine, my Father God is the gardener. Every branch, every one of you that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful." So pruning means removing the stuff that's dead or dying or rotten in order to grow more fruit, more of the good stuff. The day that I was born, my status changed. But that was not the end of the story, despite what whoever it was said. But I haven't changed a bit. I have grown, and it went through different stages. I used to have hair. It used to be blonde and curly. I had to grow, I had to develop, and we know, don't we, this is the natural, normal order of things. This is how things should be. Birth is followed by growth and development towards maturity, and if that doesn't happen, then something is wrong. And so it is with being born again spiritually into the family of God. Our new life, our new status in Jesus should be seen in us gradually becoming more like him. The day I was married, my status changed from single to married. But this may come as a shock to some of you. In that moment, I did not become the perfect husband. And this may be an even bigger shock to you. I'm still not. My status changed in that moment, but my character didn't. And so I've been working on it ever since with my wonderfully patient wife. And I've learned so much in the 21 years that we've been married. I've learned that not everyone enjoys UHT milk in their tea. I've learned that the position of the toilet seat is important. Who knew? I've learned that maybe there's more than one approach to interior decorating. But more importantly, I've learned to think about someone else and not just myself. I've learned to try and be more considerate and more appreciative. I've learned how important it is to listen. How important it is to listen without feeling the need to try and fix everything. I've learned what it really means to share, to cooperate, to make decisions together, and so much, much more. But this needs my participation. It needs my cooperation. It needs in me an openness to change on my part if this change is ever going to happen. And by the grace of God and with a wonderful wife, I've come a long way in those 21 years. But if I choose not to cooperate, if I choose never to spend any time with Sarah, if I choose to stick to my own selfish ways and my own selfish attitudes and behaviors and ways of doing things, then my status may still be married, but I'll never change. And I'll never reap the benefits in my character, in my marriage, in my family, in my own life. And in the same way, we need to cooperate with the Spirit in this aspect of transforming our character. The ongoing transformation of us to become more and more like Jesus. With more love and more compassion and more forgiveness and more patience and more goodness and more truthfulness and more courage and more justice, more godliness. And who wouldn't want more of that? Who wouldn't want to be more like him? And whether we do or whether we don't, you know, we're actually commanded to do this. This is what God wants for us. And so much of this transformation comes down to the battle in our minds, our view of who God really is, our view of what his word actually says to us, our view of our place in relation to him and to his calling on our lives. We'll see the next scripture that comes up on our screen from Romans chapter 12. I'm sure you're familiar with it, but notice how this is a command. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. It's a command. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. And it's the Spirit who brings that transformation. And he's at work in two ways. It's the Spirit who gives us the motivation to want to change, and it's the Spirit who gives us the power to change, to become more like Jesus. You see, the Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. He's the Holy Spirit. And so living in us, he motivates us to be more holy, more like Jesus. The Bible's call, we've looked at this before, is be holy as I am holy. And the desire for that comes from the Holy Spirit living within us. That motivation to want to change and to join in, to participate with what the Holy Spirit is doing to make us more like Jesus. Sinners sin. And they have no problem with it. And to some extent, they don't know any different. But you know, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we are different. We begin to have a problem with sin. We begin to struggle with temptation. Our conscience becomes more alert, more vocal within us. And this is the Holy Spirit beginning to work to make us more like Jesus. There is stuff that needs to be pruned from our lives. Before I was saved at the age of 18, I had a foul mouth. I used to swear all the time. As a teenager, I thought it was cool, I thought it was clever, and I thought it was grown up. I didn't do it near my parents, but pretty much everywhere else, I did. And when I became a Christian, that was one of the things that the Holy Spirit put his finger on really, really quickly, and I began to feel that this was wrong, and that actually, for the first time, I wanted to stop. That motivation in me was new. And I believe that was the Holy Spirit beginning to renew my mind, to give me the desire to get rid of the rubbish and begin to become more like Jesus. But as well as the motivation, the Holy Spirit also gives us the power to actually make different choices. Choices to resist temptation and to stop the sinful stuff, but also choices to embrace and develop more of the godly stuff. The fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to begin to look at those individually in the coming weeks. To develop more love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. There's another old saying, which I also believe is true. You are what you eat. And there's a degree to which I'm living proof of that. But it's true spiritually too. What we eat, what we consume, what we spend our time and energy doing, looking at, reading with, is what we will become. And so the more time we spend with Jesus, the more time we spend reading his word, the more time we spend in prayer, conversing with him, listening for his voice, the more we will become like him. You are what you eat. So another couple of questions on this point. How are we doing with that? How are you doing with that? Do you know that you're growing more like Jesus every week, every month, every year as the time goes by? Or if you're honest, would you have to admit that actually you've hit something of a plateau and you're kind of not really thinking about it very much and you're hoping that's good enough? First thing to say about this is linked with this desire to become more like Jesus, if your desire to become more like Jesus has gone off the boil, then you can ask the Spirit for fresh motivation, and he would love to give it to you. To fan into flame again that desire to grow in likeness of Jesus. I don't know how many of you ever watch any of the X Factor on the TV. Whatever you may think about the talent or lack of talent of the individuals who put themselves forward for that, their desire is amazing. When they're interviewed, almost without fail, they say, this is the one thing that I want. I want it more than anything else. I am prepared to do whatever it takes to get where I want to be as a singing sensation. Do you wish you wanted it more? Do you wish you wanted to be more like Jesus? Do you wish you had that wish more? You can pray and ask the Holy Spirit, and he will give it to you. He brings the motivation, but he also gives us the power to change. If there's anything that you are feeling defeated by in some area of your character, if you know and you have that desire, you'd like to be different, and you've tried to change it, but to no avail, and so you've just given up. This is just who I am. I've got a short temper. That's just who I am. I'm impatient. I'm just impatient. That's just who I am. I'm not very loving. I'm not very trusting. I'm not very generous. Whatever it might be, that's just who I am. I want you to hear this word from the Bible this morning, that that is not true. That is a lie of the enemy. Because you have available to you the power of the Holy Spirit. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you today. And you do not need to be defeated by this thing. Because he can help you to change, to become more like Jesus. He that is in us is greater than he who is in the world. You do not need to listen to the lies of the enemy anymore. You can ask him for the power to change. And if you're ready to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, then you can participate with him in becoming more and more and more like Jesus. As I've said, so much of this is a battle in our minds. And so a couple of practical suggestions of things that perhaps may be helpful to as we seek to participate with the Holy Spirit in this. The first thing is to try and take captive those thoughts that come into our minds of self-condemnation that the enemy tries to sow within us. We can, by the Spirit, have the power to resist them and to speak the truth to ourselves. Search out scriptures on areas that you know that you struggle with. And when the devil fires those thoughts into your mind, speak that truth to yourself. Work together with the Holy Spirit to begin to transform your mind on those things. Or secondly, a thing that is a bit more radical to do but can be so powerful is to actually walk in the opposite spirit to whatever it is that you struggle with. Because that will enable the Holy Spirit to help you conquer it. If you know that you struggle with greed or with selfishness, then give stuff away. And with the Spirit's help, you will become more like Jesus. Just walk in the opposite spirit. Decide, resolve to do it. If you struggle with eating too much, you know you struggle with gluttony, you find it hard to resist food, then start fasting, the spiritual discipline of fasting on a regular basis. The Holy Spirit will help you, will give you the power to defeat it. Food will not have the same hold over you anymore. If you know that there is someone who just rubs you up the wrong way and you can't stand being around them and you know you're supposed to love them, but oh, it's so hard, then walk in the opposite spirit. Start to pray for that person. Start to pray God's blessing on them. Look for ways to praise them and encourage them or to do something or to give something to them. Walk in the opposite spirit. Resolve to do that. And the Holy Spirit will transform your mind. And you'll see a breakthrough in that relationship, and you will become more like Jesus. The Spirit can give us the desire to do this and the power to actually do it. And if we ask him, he will answer that prayer. And we can all enjoy seeing how our character begins to become more like Jesus. Transformation by the Spirit is a past event. Our status before God has transformed. Before God, we are like Jesus. It's a present experience. Our character is being transformed to make us more like Jesus. And finally, it's also a future hope. Our eternity will be transformed. In 1 John chapter 3, we read these words, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Jesus appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Or in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49, just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man on the earth, so we shall in eternity bear the likeness of the man from heaven. That's Jesus. We shall be like him. There is a day that is coming when our transformation will be completed. And it doesn't mean that we will become Jesus, that we will become God. No. But we will be as like him as it is possible for us to be. That second passage, 1 Corinthians 15, that whole chapter is about what we can expect in eternity, how our transformation will happen, and what it will look like. We will have a transformed body. We will be free from illness and from decay and mortality and death. We will have a body that is fit for eternity in the immediate presence of God. No more pain, no more sickness, no more tiredness, no more aging. Our bodies will be transformed, but also our character will be transformed in our heart, in our mind, whatever word you want to use to describe it, that will be completed. No more sin, no more doubt, no more self-condemnation, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more guilt, no more shame, no more impatience, no more short-temperedness, no more mistrust, whatever it might be. Heart and mind fit for eternity in the immediate presence of God. That scripture that we started with from Philippians chapter 1. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you in the past will carry it on in the present to completion until the day of Christ Jesus in the future. And it will be like nothing we can imagine right now. It is beyond our comprehension, but it is the promise of the Word of God. This is our sure and certain hope. When Jesus comes again, when this world ends, we will be like him, and it will be glorious, and it will be for his glory. We were taught something over the summer when we were on holiday, and it was this. With Jesus, it will all be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, it means it's not the end. So don't let the enemy discourage you with accusations of being a rubbish Christian or a failure in the Christian faith at those times when you really notice that actually I'm not really very much like Jesus. Don't let him tempt you to think about giving it up or throwing it in as a lost cause. Don't let him knock you off course as a Christian. The Spirit is at work in you, and you're in a process of being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. And just like me and just like everybody else here, right now you are still a work in progress. You are not yet the finished article, but one day you will be. It will all be all right in the end. And if it doesn't feel all right now, it's because it's not the end yet. It doesn't mean the end isn't true. It doesn't mean the end isn't real. It doesn't mean the end isn't sure for you and for me. Because the Spirit is at work. And the Spirit is at work to transform us into the likeness of Jesus. And part of that was a past event when your status before God changed in the moment that you trusted in him. And part of that is our present experience as we cooperate with the Spirit to be changed in our characters into his likeness more and more. And part of that is a future hope, a sure and certain hope that it will all be all right in the end. This is the word of God. Let's pray. I'm just going to have some time of quiet. And I'm just going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come and to work in us right now. If you're here and you know you have never, ever put your trust in Jesus, if you know that your status has not yet changed before God, and you want to move, you want to change from death to life, then talk to God about that now. Just pray, just speak in your heart to him. Ask for his forgiveness. Ask the Holy Spirit to make that change in you right now, today. If there's something in your past that you know still has got a hold on you, then pray about that. Bring that to the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to set you free. This whole question of being more like Jesus, if you wish you wanted it more, then ask for that. Ask for that desire. Or if you have the desire and you just want the power to make the difference, then ask for that. Power to live differently, to choose wisely, to witness boldly. Ask the Spirit for his power. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. We pray that you would speak now. We pray that you would work in us now. We would pray that you would do that transforming work that only you can do. So let's just be quiet, just for a few minutes. We'll spend a bit of time just being quiet.